Hi, everyone. We are Not So Giant Women.
Hello.
The Steven Universe podcast, hosted by Daria and I. Today, we're doing Say Uncle, and I'm sure everybody is just thrilled about that.
Yeah, I know it's the crossover with a show I haven't seen, and you said it's non-canon, so I don't need to fret it too hard.
Yep. And everybody knew when it aired that it was crossover. So, you know, it's fair for you to know. But you don't by any chance know what we're crossing over with, right?
You mentioned last time, or at some point, there was a show called Uncle Grandpa, which I am aware exists. But that is the beginning and end, at least until about 12 minutes from now, of my association with Uncle Grandpa.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see if you were better off for that, or if you're going to treasure this episode. I don't know, I mean, we'll just have to go through it and find out.
Here we go.
We are the Crystal Gems. We'll always save the day.
Oh, Steven! Now who's next?
Okay, let's work out what that was.
Yeah. This intricate plot that we instructed for us.
Well, insofar as this is any time at all, this is seems to be a little while ago because Steven's trying to put together how to summon his shield. He's sitting there on the beach and he either fails or brings up his bubble. He calls out for anyone to help him, and in a herald of spouting dolphins and giant clamshells, Uncle Grandpa appears dressed as the late Rose Quartz. However, Steven does not object to this. He's just relieved to see Uncle Grandpa, who he knows, and who probably people who watch Uncle Grandpa know, but we don't. And explains the problem, and Uncle Grandpa says that, yes, he was there when Steven first learned that he needs to be protecting people to use his shield. And we flash back to the first episode where Uncle Grandpa is busy in a little promo image at the bottom of the screen. And in this instance, talking right over Steven and co, as occasionally happens with those promo things, it has to be said. So rude, Uncle Grandpa.
Rude.
But also rude Cartoon Network. Uncle Grandpa assures Steven and us that none of us is canon, but this is, produces a cannon from his bum bag and sinks a ship out in the ocean, which has Lars and Sadie on it, who cry that their ship has been sunk.
Best joke.
Yeah, that one they nailed. That one I've given them. Yeah. A variety of other elaborate weapons are used as Uncle Grandpa tries to threaten Steven or vaporize him, use the shield. Back at the treehouse, the other Crystal Gems spot this and intercede because, as far as they are concerned, Uncle Grandpa is a dangerous reality warper who endangers the fabric of space-time, and, well, it's hard to disagree with them on this point.
Yeah.
They learn that he's Uncle Grandpa, and they pointed to this make him Greg's father and brother, which would explain a lot, so there's a quick inbreeding come incest joke on this kid's show.
Good Lord.
Steven assures them he's in fact everybody's Uncle Grandpa, and we have this animation of their heads floating around the Earth, and apparently they experience their heads coming off and floating around the Earth, which is lends to the whole dangerous reality warper thing. The three consider that Uncle Grandpa has to be attacked, destroyed. They deploy their weapons. Uncle Grandpa and Steven make a run for it until they step into a plot hole. A giant white space envelops the screen. And we next see Uncle Grandpa in the UGRV, the Uncle Grandpa Recreation Vehicle, which is a recreation vehicle that appears to be bigger on the inside, but that's old hat to someone like me.
Yeah.
And Steven has been stuffed in the glove compartment, which is actually incredibly cute.
Yeah.
We meet some of Uncle Grandpa's friends, including Peter Steve, who is a giant sapient slice of, well, not that giant, a larger than average sapient slice of pizza wearing sunglasses. Mr. Gus, who is some kind of reptilian creature or bunyip or something. And giant realistic flying tiger, who is a photo cutout of a tiger. Sometimes it's what it says in the tin. And Mr. Gus has made himself a gemsona, but Peter Steve thinks that Mr. Gusite is dumb and scrolls over his tablet. I'm trying to remember where we get to from here. I think we find that the Crystal Gems are still running about in the white space, and Pearl is freaking out. Pearl freaks out a lot, even by Pearl standards, with some quite anime tears this episode. When Peter Steve comes into the white space with a Steven Universe-like haircut and says that he's Peter Steven Universe, Pearl says, "That's not my baby!" And Amethyst eats Peter Steve. Yeah, I think my recent throat troubles were just leading up so I could do that. Yeah. Amethyst eats Peter Steve, which they actually look a little disturbed at, but, well, if you're a pizza and you're around Amethyst, you're taking your life into your own hands. Garnet stamps her foot, which shatters the white space and roll back on the beach. And Gems go to attack Uncle Grandpa, and Steven's desperation to protect Uncle Grandpa causes his shield to deploy. And that has solved the issue, and Uncle Grandpa is on his way on the back of giant realistic flying tiger, checking off a list of people he's visited who I recognize as characters from other Cartoon Network shows, leaving Clarence as the one he is going to visit next. And we end on a card saying RIP Pizza Steve. I think I captured that insofar as anything could.
I mean, you gave it the respect it deserves. So yeah, April Fool's episode.
Yeah, which was in fact noted in the episode.
It aired on April 2nd, but still. Yep. What do you think?
There are lots of funny bits, individual bits of a second long. I don't know. Yeah. I liked it as a whole.
Yeah.
Often the purpose of a crossover is to invite people who are fans of one thing to look at the other thing. But I feel no burning urge to fire up a bunch of episodes of Uncle Grandpa.
Same.
Even though I know I can, because I know it's on a local streaming service, because I saw the You May Also Like card. Well, you're wrong, advert card.
Yeah, I'm not such a huge fan of like the LOL random humor that is on some of these kinds of shows. It's like, look at me, I'm wacky. I just grew another head and said something absurd.
It can be. I do like it sometimes, but sometimes when the joke is only that it's random, it wears thin pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure I could be called out many a time on, but you like this joke, but not this joke, and this was random and this wasn't. And yeah, look, it just didn't all work for me, okay?
Yeah. Digression, but have you ever seen Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle?
I saw bits.
There's a joke in there that I feel like most people who are writing for a movie like that would do it over and over again. And I just thought that the joke was, it was the best thing ever because it happened once and they never mentioned it again, which was just like, I guess one guy was going to the bathroom and like on the side of the road, he was peeing on a bush and some other random guy just walks out of nowhere and starts peeing right next to him. And he's just like, why are you doing that? And the guy's like, what, this your bush? You have an emotional attachment to this bush? And he's being real aggro about, like, why don't you want me to pee next to you on this bush? What's wrong with you? And I kind of expected for the rest of the movie for this guy to just show up peeing on things, but he didn't. And that made it such a good joke because it wasn't a running gag. And that is pretty LOL random, but it's exactly the kind of thing that I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, and I don't like the whole, like, random fart jokes and stuff. You know, Steven's jumping and a little fart comes out of his butt, or random burps and stuff like that.
Yeah,
not that.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is what Uncle Grandpa is like all the time, but yeah, I mean, if it is, it felt like this was the Steven Universe character sort of getting snared into an Uncle Grandpa episode.
Right. They were kind of treating him like he was an existential threat. He was a monster that had come there to mess with space-time. So they reacted to him in a pretty typical Gem way, like, we'll pull out our weapons, we'll destroy him.
One of the few times, granted, uncanonically, we can probably take that note as pretty much everything from here on in, that they sort of stepped up against a threat that wasn't of Gem making.
Right.
I've often wondered if they do that, or if, because a lot of the time they're sort of like, a lot of time the main threat comes from Gem stuff, and I wonder, oh, if something else pops up, do they take to arms or they go, oops, not our Gem, not our crystal?
Yeah, seems like they might handle it kind of like they did Steven's problems in Shirt Club, where they're just like, yeah, we can't punch this, solve it yourself. So
they tried to punch Uncle Grandpa, it just didn't work out for them.
Yeah, I know they faced down Onion in Onion Trade, but that was still a Gem-related problem because he didn't become dangerous until he had that replicator wand. So, yeah, it seems like most of the time they just deal with their own stuff. But, yeah, so I did like, just there are occasional goofy little things that Uncle Grandpa said that I giggled at and stuff.
Yeah, like the when he was about to bazooka Stephen, and Stephen's like, is this safe? Don't worry, kid, I'm wearing a helmet.
Exactly. That was one of my favorite ones. And them tripping over the letters that were on the beach. Mm. Well, I think it was just Amethyst tripped over the letters.
Why?
Yeah. As mentioned, the our ship joke was very funny.
Yes, that I dug. That I have no problem handing them that one.
Yeah, what else? I liked the thing about the 40 or 50 vans. That was just kind of funny to me. We have two rules, only one Steve and no more than 40 or 50 vans.
May have coincidence, which could be a coincidence, could be a deliberate reference to one of TV Trope's big things called the one Steve limit.
Oh, I don't know this one.
What it is of course, in real life, you're often meet people who have the same or similar names, and you just work out ways to distinguish them. But most of the time in TV, movies, whatever, that rarely happens, that people will have the same name, because they don't want the audiences to get confused or spend too much time trying to work it out. So
yeah.
Steve was an arbitrary choice of name for that, but it did work out in this episode that the one Steve limit has in fact been breached.
No, I like that. Yeah. I've written a couple of things where people have the same name in the same work just because I know that. And I never liked it. It was so unrealistic that very common names would only be shared once, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We knew a bunch of Sams. We gave them numbers.
Yeah. In my life, it's mostly been a proliferation of Mikes.
Yeah. You know, an awful lot of Marcuses at my school, which was not a common name, I thought, at the time, because I'd never met any before, and then I met like six at once.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I currently have one friend named Steve. I've had others, but I think I only have one active, like, friend in my friend group named Steve. And I have another friend that goes by Steven, but I haven't seen him in a long time. Pretty common name. So I guess they wanted to have this, they planned to have this air in the first season, which is why Garnet was still wearing her previous outfit.
Oh, yeah, that I noticed but didn't mention. And along with Stephen's power troubles would suggest this is a lost first season episode. But as noted, not canon, so doesn't really matter.
And some people were saying, like, maybe this should, if this would count as canon, then Uncle Grandpa's advice is what helps Steven get better control of his shield. And then now every time you see him smoothly pulling it out, it's because he's remembering Uncle Grandpa.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does, the stuff about his shield does actually fit with the rest of the show.
Yeah, it does, surprisingly.
So if you're desperate that it has to fit because it's an episode of the show, there is certainly a few points in season one it could happily slot if you just ignore this isn't canon thing.
Yeah, the weird sort of fourth wall breaking that happened.
Yeah, well, he's a reality warper, so that much at least the gems pretty much nailed him on.
That's true.
It looked like we briefly stopped off back in his native world when we saw his RV and his friends.
Yeah. That's what it looked like to me, too. The style was slightly different.
Well, the palette shifted a bit, too.
Yeah, it did.
Which means before I tweaked, Steve actually looked a bit unwell because they used the Caucasian skin tone, which I guess they used on the Uncle Grandpa show rather than on Steven Universe show.
Yeah, I did notice that. And just the color. Yeah, the color palette in Steven Universe does tend to be like more pastel-y, too. Mm. And Uncle Grandpa was very, I don't know, like a primary school book that doesn't have that many colors to print their stuff in.
Yeah, and Stephen's shirt looked pinker too, which was another thing that stood out because, of course, he's the one we see every week, so we notice the difference.
I don't think I'd made note of that, but I did notice the skin color. He looked a little jaundiced.
Yeah, that was my first thought too.
Yeah, although he was also stuffed glove compartment, so.
Maybe he's just getting his circulation back. In fact, that reminds me of another cartoon crossover when The Simpsons and Family Guy did their thing, because everyone retained their usual skin tones and the Griffin's skin is far closer to actual human skin color than The Simpsons. The Simpsons, by comparison, looked horribly ill and jaundiced, even though they're normal colors, because your baseline has been thrown.
Yeah, it really doesn't stand out when you're watching the show, but when they're next to somebody in Family Guy or whatever, it's very noticeable. So we've established you would not jump on the bandwagon to watch more Uncle Grandpa. I have not either.
I admit there's a part of me that's at least curious to see what the fuss is about, but unless it's a very different show, I can't imagine that curiosity is going to end with me rushing out and buying Uncle Grandpa box sets.
Nah.
And that curiosity is also only a little bit more there because I know, see above re-streaming services, that I can just press a button and watch part of an episode without any actual effort.
I've seen part of another episode of the show because someone said it had a reference to Steven Universe in it. And it was an episode called The Grampies, which I guess was like the Emmys or something. Mm. And he was giving out awards to other shows, except then he would win them all. And he somehow also won Best Episode of Steven Universe. And like the Gems and Steven, they're in the audience hoping, like sitting there waiting to get their award, and gives himself because he was in an episode of Steven Universe. So. But that was a thing that happened. It's funny that they had him talking, trying to get their attention on that ad for his show on the first episode when he said that he remembered it and Steven didn't remember it at all.
Yeah, that was a bit cute.
Yeah.
And we've all been bugged by, I'm trying to watch the show and the bottom third of the screen has been stolen and so is half the dialogue because someone wants me to watch another show on the same channel that I'm already watching.
Yeah, I can kind of understand if it's just like a rather unobtrusive ad or something, but if it makes noise, that's like unforgivable for me. So I don't know if Uncle Grandpa was advertising on Steven Universe at the time. They very well could have been. I don't have any recordings of that, but of course I did, you know, I probably do not have a version of the episode that was the same one that went out on the air. So I thought it was kind of funny that Amethyst was sort of into him. She was like, I kind of like him.
Yeah, I can imagine his random and occasional simple pleasure nature, like three-ended subs would appeal to her.
Yeah, her chaotic nature. She's like, oh, he likes to mess stuff up and piss people off.
And hangs out with food.
Yeah, there is that. There is that. There's another thing where he was playing video games. So she'd probably be into that. Yeah. How do you feel in general about crossovers and stuff? Have you have any that you liked?
Oh, in the wider sphere, I think it's very much a case-by-case basis for me. I quite enjoyed the aforementioned Simpsons Family Guy crossover.
Oh.
Fun fact, that meme doing the rounds of Ralph Wiggum saying he's in danger, that's from Family Guy rather than The Simpsons.
Funny. Did not know that, but I don't watch Family Guy, and I haven't seen much of The Simpsons, only just early stuff.
But yeah, I think it depends on both the components and the execution.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the big Arrowverse event, Crisis on Infinite Earth, which was basically crossover porn for 5 nights. On the other hand, when The Simpsons met The Critic, I have never deliberately gone back and watched that episode.
Oh, I see. Remember there was an episode of Animaniac where they crossed over each other's segments within the show. So it's not really a crossover, but they, you know, mixed up characters with each other, and they have, instead of Pinky and the Brain, they have Mindy and the Brain and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. I found that hilarious when I first saw it.
I think
because you're like expecting their shtick to come out and they're stuck with somebody else's shtick, you know?
I think also when it comes to between franchise crossovers, a lot of the ones I've seen or read or whatever fall into the trap of kind of ostensibly being a proper crossover, but it's really just one show showing up the other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was a Doctor Who Sherlock Holmes crossover in book form years ago, which 2/3 of it is Holmes just spluttering and being out of his depth. It's like, that's not why I read Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Huh.
They did a better one later on, but it's that kind of thing. And I think also, and this is just a necessary evil, sometimes it has to try too hard to balance everyone, and they'll make sure that every scene is one character teamed up with their ostensible counterpart from another show. And that's not bad per se, but it can feel a bit artificial if they lean on it too hard.
Yeah. I know a lot of people were really angry about this episode, like, you know, because Steven Universe is not an absurd show like that. I mean, it has absurd moments. You can't say it's not absurd if you have a kid who turns into pieces of cat, but, you know.
But were it an April Fool's episode, I get more behind the anger.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, I can understand, number one, like why somebody who feels very invested in the show, I mean, me included, of course, I'm very invested in the show, but that it would kind of almost feel like a betrayal or something to see these characters screwing around doing something that's not real, like as if they're playing a role or they're in some twisted version of themselves, and like understand where that comes from. And also just some people just hating Uncle Grandpa so much and being so annoyed by his voice or his shtick or whatever. But, you know, some people were just like, they were so offended by this episode and they were so angry that I felt like that goes a little far.
No.
It's a cartoon.
I also don't think I could give the episode that much passion to actually be angry at it, even if I was in the habit of getting angry. The only writer I can think of to that, and I just plain old don't know in this case, but I am aware of Steven Universe's wacky scheduling issues. So I don't know if this was another one of the ones where you might have been waiting for months to see a new Steven Universe or whatever, and it's this one.
I had started actively watching the show by this point. And the show was pretty, it wasn't like regular, but it hadn't been very long since we had a new episode. Yeah. Although they had just showed us like some of those out of order season one episodes that they were showing in season two right around here. I feel like this one aired right very, very close to when they aired Story for Steven. So we had them pretty close to each other. I'm not sure if I'm right about that. Yeah. Might have been Shirt Club. I don't know.
There could have been at least a little frustration of, oh, I want to go back to the season two storyline and we're held up again and it's for this.
Yeah, exactly. There have been a few episodes that got sort of caught in the crossfire of people being frustrated, more frustrated than they would have been otherwise story-wise because of the way the schedule was working. I think that's always going to like leave a bad taste in people's mouths. But especially when you hear the creators talk about stuff like this, it's like the creators are part of a team that works at Cartoon Network, and Cartoon Network has all these other people making cartoons in the same building, and they're friends, and they know each other and stuff, and they want to have a good time. They want to do some fun stuff, and they also remember being kids and thinking, oh, wow, that's wacky and fun when the characters hang around with each other in like advertisements and stuff like that. It's funny to watch them run around and shake hands or stand in a group on the bumpers and the advertisements and stuff. So it's kind of like, it's a show that we want to respect kind of as a work of fiction, but we also have to understand it's part of a big sort of cartoon empire where there are people making it and making fun stuff that's related, but I don't know. So I couldn't see getting too mad.
Yeah, and there's also the, well, you were watching it on the regular by this point, but I'm watching this pretty much as it's all part of the flow by now. So if I was just watching these rather than pausing after each one to record a podcast, then this would be sort of, this would be 12 minutes between two other sections of 12 minutes.
Right.
And it could just be absorbed into the greater whole.
Right. It'd just be a drop in the bucket. It's like, okay, so that happened. We don't need to look at that again. Next.
To make an entirely out of genre comparison, the third season of Star Trek Discovery, the first episode had almost none of the regular characters in it, setting up a bunch of other stuff. The first episode, And the second episode caught up with the rest of them and going on from there. At the time, of course, when that's the only episode you've got of season three, that's frustrating. But if I step back and think, how would this look if I watch this as the first chapter of 10 or 13, however many they're doing, then it will make perfect storytelling sense. So I think that, is this part of the whole or is this just the only installment of your show you're getting that day, is also a factor.
Right. And of course, we've just been through kind of a really large event in the Steven Universe continuum here. Mm-hmm. We've had big revelation about Garnet and then them trying to pick up the pieces in this battle they had and figure out the way forward. So it's kind of frustrating to stop for a goofy episode like this.
Yeah. But again, if I go back to these on DVD or digital, whatever, and I go, oh, I was really getting into the season two storyline, skip is all I need to do.
That's right. Yeah. And I feel like some people have really strong feelings about you should skip this one. If you're showing it to someone, don't torture them with it. But I just feel like everybody should see every episode if they're going to be shown the whole thing. Like, this counts. This is an episode of the show. It was written and drawn by the people who make the show.
Yeah. Unless you've some particular reason not that you need to skip a bunch of episodes for time or, I don't know, disk space or something. Yeah. Just put them all in.
And I feel like it has its own value, just not really overall to the story. So, but, you know, it's part of understanding it as a cartoon is also understanding it as part of a parent company, that decisions are being made about it and how it is put into the world that affects more than just what the writers are writing. So that's what we're seeing.
So whose idea was it? Do we know? Because I know that one of the things with the Simpsons critic crossover is that it was pretty much from above, and a lot of people working on the Simpsons weren't happy with the directive.
The people on The Simpsons weren't happy?
Yeah, because they didn't want to... Because the crossover was basically the critic guest starring on The Simpsons, and a lot of people making The Simpsons like, okay then, guess we'll put Jay on this episode.
I guess. I don't remember, but I remember hearing that Rebecca Sugar was excited to do it, like that she wanted to do it and that she thought it would be fun. One of the writers, Matt Burnett, he's kind of a troll. I might have mentioned him before, but he's kind of a troll on, at least he was at the time, on Twitter. And leading up to this episode, he was talking about how, no, this show, this episode is entirely canon and it'll change things. And what else did he say? I think I wrote something down about him so that I would remember to read it to you. Okay, yeah. So he said the crossover was going to be canon. And then he also said, here it is, that Pizza Steve and Steven were going to permanently switch shows after this episode. Can you imagine?
If he really wanted to dedicate himself to the bit, he should have made a fake promo for the next Steven Universe with Pizza Steve in it.
Oh, fake promos. Well, I'll have something interesting to say about that in episode 121, but it pisses people off. That's all I'll say when they lie to us.
Well, as for that one, for the first part, I would have thought, really? Then when he gets to the, and they're permanently going to tweet, you would have thought, okay, you're messing with me. Even I can tell that.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, that's absurd. But secondly, Matt Burnett was known at this point to say completely absurd things. Like somebody once asked him, is Steven Universe going to die? And he goes, yes, sad face. I'm like, all right, good for you. I don't know. That's what it is. But I don't know, it was aired so shortly after the big successful first Steven bomb that some people thought that it was a bad idea. Because like you were saying, most of the time, shows that do crossovers are kind of trying to get more of each other's fans into each other's stuff. And it's definitely not something that makes Uncle Grandpa look particularly appealing. And then most Steven Universe fans were not, they weren't happy. So,
I imagine just by law of numbers, it must have picked up one or two either way, but a few either way, I'd say.
Who knows? I mean, it seems impossible that it wouldn't work at all. But I also feel like people who would watch Uncle Grandpa and enjoy it are probably, younger kids. And a lot of them were already watching both shows. I don't know. That's my opinion. But I'm also not studying Steven Universe or Uncle Grandpa's ratings. So, but I hear it did pretty well. They had definitely gotten a big ratings boost after Steven Bomb number one.
Well, wait, I have loads more probing questions to ask.
Can I possibly make a probing question about this episode? I don't know if I can.
I was going to say, can you? I mean, I'll allow it, but can you?
So let's see. So Uncle Grandpa survives as kind of an absurd and fourth wall breaking, talking to kids at home kind of thing character. Because he's just absurd and he's a reality master or whatever. Do you think that fourth wall breaking would work in Steven Universe without that? Do you think that it can be done?
Not fully. Not in a full-on Deadpool/She-Hulk or slash Uncle Grandpa full awareness of I know I'm a character in a show. Unless you possibly, if you had a Mr. Nobody style character who was the only one aware in a show and no one else was processing this and it was done sparingly. I refer to Mr. Nobody in Doom Patrol.
Okay,
in the first season, the voiceover narrator is also a character in the main parts of the show, and it becomes clear that he's aware he's the narrator and he's aware in a show, but it doesn't actually affect the plot in any way. If you removed all those references, the story would still work. It's more just a few asides. Oh, and at one point when he's not in season two, someone asks, how come they haven't seen him lately? And another character says, oh, he's got some animated gig now. But that's also a bit Doom Patrol's the sort of show where you can get away with a quick one of those.
I see.
I could get with Steven Universe doing a smaller amount of maybe not breaking the fourth wall, but maybe messing with the format a bit.
Mm.
Like I've seen a few shows where it's framed by a character narrating to the audience, like straight to camera in a show that's otherwise completely fourth wall intact. In fact, Doctor Who did it a season or two ago. And those slight things, because, again, it doesn't intrude on the story and could usually be safely removed and or are sufficiently isolated. I think a few tricks like that, like maybe a I've forgotten what it's called. Rashomon? They could do a Rashomon thing if they weren't so wed to everything as Stephen's experience. Mm. That's where different characters tell their version of what they remember happening, and you see it as based on their telling as opposed to maybe what really happened. It could do something like that where you're messing with the fourth wall, but it's not really stopping to say, hey, we're in a show. We're going to have an ad break now, which means in story we must have been standing here for several minutes if you think about it.
Right.
So I think the show, at least up until I've seen, of course, could get away with some format bending, fourth wall permeable tricks like that, but not out and out stuff like Uncle Grandpa or, and one of the most popular and known examples at the moment, or Deadpool do.
Right.
I mean, they even skirted it a bit where Garnet says she can't wait for this episode to be over, and you're a bit, does she mean this incident or this piece of televisual media?
Right, but this episode had Amethyst tripping over words on the screen and all that stuff. So, yeah, the thing where Steven said in the episode, when he said, my mind is the internet, I know every continuity mistake ever made on television. I felt like that was the closest they ever got to kind of, and it wasn't even really close, breaking any walls.
Yeah, everything they've had so far, I mean, every time they've gone near it so far, it's something that still makes perfect sense in story.
Right.
I mean, Someone could still make that I'm the internet joke in real life.
Sure.
And it just so happens that the one who did is on television.
Right. I actually heard a few people saying that they were upset that Pearl had the overreacting, you know, the extra screaming and the flipping out and stuff and making it cartoonishly funny. Because, like, I guess because there was a lot of unreality going on, you know, that it's actually a rational response to respond to reality turning itself inside out, to flip out. And, you know, she treated like, oh, that's so hilarious that she's having an anxiety meltdown. You know, like a lot of people are uncomfortable when they see stuff like that. I mean, I know it's made as a cartoon, but I can see why that upset some people.
Yeah, I was fine with that. And from the other side, the reality warping, we see that it's affecting them too. So if you want to say that it's making Pearl react a bit differently to normal, that's fine too.
Yeah, I guess some people are just, they don't like to hear, you know, somebody like her is freaking out about something that is freaky. And then she's just literally told you're overreacting, or, you know, that her anxiety is funny. Like a lot of people don't like when somebody is clearly having a meltdown and everybody else processes it as hilarious. And I can see why. But I mean, we're also dealing with absurdity. We're dealing with cannons coming out of people's heads.
And as a gentle parody of Pearl's tendency towards histrionics, it works too.
Right. Amethyst going, I also apologize for Pearl.
Yeah, that was bang on Amethyst.
Right.
In fact, if I had to pick one of the characters who knows they're in a TV program but just chooses not to mention it, it'd be Amethyst.
Oh, that's true. See that? What was it? Yeah, the exit that Uncle Grandpa had on the giant realistic flying tiger, where he's talking to the kids about don't see with eyes clouded by hate or whatever, and the thing is farting a rainbow. It's just, yeah, it's absurd. Yeah. And they're all crying when he...
His final message was sound. I've got to give him that. That was not bad advice, even if it was galaxy eyes on a farting flying cat, who Lion appeared to have a bit of a thing for in a couple moments there. I'm happy to ship Lion with giant realistic flying tiger.
Why not? See that? Hey, I hear you have a portal in your mane. Want to see my portal?
Yeah, they're both cosmic felines. They probably can relate to things.
Yeah, I ship it.
And they're probably, oh, your guy makes you fart and fly around. Yeah, my one knows I'm a cosmic connection to his dead mother, but he uses me to shortcut to the movies.
Exactly. Which one of us is the absurd show again?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. Don't let's overly fool ourselves that Steven Universe is a hardcore, serious, gritty sci-fi drama either.
Yeah, it has its moments, certainly, but there's some wibbly-wobbly weirdness.
But this isn't like Uncle Grandpa showing up on Titans or something.
No, no, no. It is not.
Actually, the cartoon version of the Titans, if they had to do another crossover, that would kind of fit alongside Steven Universe pretty well.
What would?
Well, when I made the deliberately extreme comparison, I was thinking of the current live-action Titans series, but then I remembered the cartoon Teen Titans series. I thought, actually, that could work as a thematically sound crossover with Steven Universe.
There you go. have to let you know if it happened.
They're both on the Cartoon Network, last I heard.
Yeah, there's jokes about Teen Titans Go being like 24 hours a day. And
oh, yeah, I'm aware of those. Well, apparently Teen Titans has crossed over with Teen Titans Go just to confuse matters.
Oh, I think I knew that.
I only just found that out, and because I've only sort of peeked at both shows, I just thought one was a more one. I just thought it was a sort of continuation, only with far lower stakes and far more ridiculous. I didn't realize it was different enough to cross over.
Yeah, that's a little, I don't know, hard to justify, I guess.
And we're trying to maintain three versions of the Titans here in our heads, between those two and a live action.
Oh my goodness, too much. The Titan and the Titans.
The Teen Titans Go one rarely says fuck Batman premise.
Oh no.
I love eating. Feels weird.
What should we cover next?
I think the closest thing we came to food was Pizza Steve.
Well, you may be surprised because I have three recipes for this.
Oh. Okay, wait, so we saw the triple sub. That's right.
Yes. So we're going into food, I guess. Yeah, I did the three-way sub. That was probably the hardest one because I made the bread in one piece, you know, like a whole yeast bread.
Y-shaped subs don't occur in nature, so you couldn't just pop down the bakery.
Yeah, I made it from scratch. So I had like three prongs sticking out across like two baking sheets because it was so huge. You know, made a typical yeast spread, which was, you know, letting the yeast foam and then adding all the stuff. And you had to let it rise, I think, twice. My friend and I were doing this together because obviously I can't eat a three-way sub myself. And also most of the fillings of a typical sub would not be appropriate for me. So I made one leg for me and the other two legs were for my friend. We managed to watch an entire movie while we were waiting for bread to rise. Because it rose twice. And then actually there's a third shorter rise after you put it into three prongs and then cut little slits in it, you know, egg wash, all that stuff. It's looking really absurd, just laying in these floppy prongs across two baking sheets. But we managed to get it baked and it didn't entirely fit in the oven. That was fun. The oven was slightly open.
I was wondering about the scale issue as well, of course.
Yeah, it was ginormous. But then we had another adventure trying to get it from the oven to a place where we could cut it. We managed to cut it and my friend filled two sides of it with a bunch of meat and all kinds of topping. I think I did tofurkey and cheese and some other stuff that I would eat. Pickles, spinach, and whatever else. But if I'd had amethyst to help me, I'm sure it would have made short work of that sandwich. But as it was, I think that was at least three meals for me. And that was one leg of the three-way sub. My friend took the other two home. Yeah, it was fun. I tried to make it look as much like the sub in the episode as possible. And it was on the screen for like 2 seconds. So I am clearly very dedicated to accuracy. I heard that the Crooniverse members made a three-way sub as well.
Cool.
And I don't know how they did theirs. It looked intact in three pieces, so I don't know how they did that, whether they did it similar to me or what. So as you mentioned, there was also Pizza Steve, but I went a really lazy route with this. I bought a frozen pizza and I put some vegetarian pepperoni on it. And I made a Pizza Steve with, I used nori, you know, like seaweed paper that they use for sushi. If people are not familiar. And I cut out some sunglasses and like some features for him. I got lazy and just used paper for his arms and legs. But Pizza Steve. But because when he became food, he was actually Pizza Steven Universe, I went one step further and gave him like a Steven hair out of the same seaweed, gave him belly gem and everything, and had this absolutely horrifying yet sort of hilarious play act thing going on with him and one of my amethyst plushies, you know, ending with the sunglasses being on her face. So yeah, I'm a little messed up. But the third almost invisible food that was in here was there was a very brief moment where Stephen was having cookies and tea with Uncle Grandpa.
Oh, yes, there was.
Yeah, so I made the same cookies. I don't need to talk about the cookies too much because they're the same cookie recipe I used for when Garnet made cookies for Stephen in Warped Tour. And so it's the same cookies, but, you know, Uncle Grandpa, he's such a classy guy that I decided to make my own tea. Like I put, what did I have? I gave tea mixes to my sister for the holiday gift last year. So I still had some kind of cool mixes. What did I use? In a tea ball, I put like 3 different kinds of flower things. I think it was chamomile and rose something, rose petals and lemongrass. That's what it was. I boiled it. I don't even like tea, so I actually didn't drink it, but I made it. And yeah, I set up this kind of ridiculous little, because when something is not much of a real recipe, I like to compensate for that by making something funny, like for the display of it. And so I had like a Steven plushie and a lion figure. But then, of course, I don't have any Uncle Grandpa merchandise. So I'll have to show this to the people at home as well as I'm showing it to you. But I drew a picture of Uncle Grandpa on an index card and made like a little stand so that he would be sitting there with them.
You definitely got Uncle Grandpa, right?
Thank you. It looks pretty good for my first time drawing him. There's his beanie hat and everything. But I propped this guy up next to it with his rainbow suspenders. I'm liking the rainbow suspenders. I didn't even notice them until I had to draw them.
Yeah, I was watching him because I've got a pair like that too.
Awesome.
But I don't have a propeller hat.
I do have one. I'm not wearing it, people at home. For the giant realistic flying tiger, I decided it should be a realistic tiger. So I paged through and found one in a fairy tale book. Just propped the book up next to the scene. It was really low rent, but it was good. That was my cookie picnic. If there's any more food in there, I don't even want to know about it because I'm embarrassed that I spent 3 recipes on Uncle Grandpa. Interesting side note, my pictures of my bread dough were in some cases like forming them into ropes and stuff ended up being mistaken for pornography by Tumblr's filter. I know my bread is sexy, but my God, it's not porn. So I got blocked and had to ask for my thing to be manually reviewed so that my pornographic bread could be on Tumblr. So I don't even want to think about how many, I've been flagged for porn so many times. usually bread dough just looks like, I guess, naked people to them. It's a little scary, isn't it? But ask a robot what's too sexy for Tumblr, you get your head.
Yeah, well, apparently robots can't even recognize zebra crossings or traffic lights, so you must get run over a lot.
Wow.
I'm learning new things all the time!
I don't have any more food to talk about, but I do have a factoid about the music.
Oh, yes?
So there's not really any real music in this, but they made a remix of the Steven Universe theme song.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, they called it like Steven Universe Good Morning or Good Morning S Remix, I think is the name. So that was kind of Uncle Grandpa Eyes Steven Universe theme. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
They used the Shield song, but we've heard that plenty of times before. I don't really have anything else except a list of factoids for you that I wrote down.
That's factoid away.
So the board artists were Joe Johnston and Jeff Liu, which, you know, they just they're hot off doing Jailbreak and then they do this. So I don't know. I'm sure they were working on it before that. It was season 1 designs. Let's see. The description was a long lost relative of Steven's comes to town to aid him in unlocking the power of his mother's gem. That sounds like a serious episode.
Yeah. If you didn't know what's going on, you'd be like, oh, we're going to meet some of Steven's family. Oh, my.
Yeah. So we've only met Greg. So. And his passed away mom in a video. Yeah. Another Crooniverse related thing was that when this episode, I don't know if when it's aired or when it was completed or something, but they had an ice cream social with a bunch of other people in the CN building. And they all just like got together and watched the episode. And I think they watched some other Uncle Grandpa thing too. But they all just like invited everybody there to eat ice cream together and watch. I think that's cute.
Cute. Yeah.
They were like, guess what? We're friends. I have a Ronaldo's blog quote for you.
Okay. I thought Ronaldo might have sat this one out, but I guess not.
He posted about this saying, why is nobody talking about the crying breakfast friend / interdimensional family friend crossover? And his commentary says, I'll admit, I was kind of skeptical when I first heard about it. Like, just because they're 2 shows on the same network and both have friend in the title doesn't mean you should do a crossover. But it was pretty solid. I liked that they brought back Crying Egg and then IFF immediately sat on him, broke him again. That was pretty funny. I got to watch more interdimensional family friend. And there's like a funny picture on it that I'll have to share when we do the video version of this episode. Yeah, that's pretty funny. I like that.
I like that title, Interdimensional Family Friend. It sounds like what you'd see on knockoff merchandise for Uncle Grandpa.
Yeah, it totally sounds like that. I don't know if it went by too fast. You usually catch really quick things, like almost all of the time. But did you notice on the video game that it, like, they were playing a video game and one of the characters that was in the battle was based on Hopper from Guardians Universe as the frog?
Oh, I think I registered something but didn't quite put it together.
That's what that was. So that's in my factoids list. So that's funny. What else do I have? I don't have any other factoids. All I have left for you is...
Go check out our merch table.
What merch does this week give us?
You know, I was thinking about this for a while because I was like, okay, what could be Uncle Grandpa-ish? And I was thinking maybe I would show you some stuff that's like not really canon, you know, but I ended up finding something better. I have two things. One of them was given out, I guess, at a convention. I don't know if it was San Diego Comic-Con or some other convention, but they released a Cartoon Network Mad Libs Buttons. Ooh. And so four cartoon shows that were on CN or on there, Uncle Grandpa and Steven Universe, are represented.
So they are, along with Adventure Time and Clarence. And
Clarence was mentioned in this episode, yep. So that works. Yeah, so they're Mad Libs buttons. I guess Stevens is Defenders of Planet Blank.
Uncle Grandpa's is Blank Morning.
Blank Morning. He had good and bad time. The other thing that I have is kind of similar. Free Comic Book Day did this, and it's a Kaboom thing with a bunch of CN shows, and Uncle Grandpa and Steven were in this mix.
Yeah, cool. So, I recognize most of those, but not all.
Yeah, I see Regular Show, Adventure Time again. I don't know what this bear is.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was a bear until you said, so I thought it was a dog.
There's Snoopy there and Bubblegum. Yeah. Why did I say Bubblegum? That's Gumball. Gumball.
Yeah, and Garfield, of course.
Oh, yes, Garfield. I actually don't remember what the issue was about, but it was something that was recycled. It was just like a piece of some other thing. So it was the Free Comic Book Day 2014, so that was early on stuff. Yay. So that is the extent of the merch I have that acknowledges both shows' existence on the same thing. Not super exciting, but I figured I would add them to my collection anyway.
It does the job of crossover merchandise.
Yeah, nicely, because I didn't think I had any and I had to think hard about that. But there we are. We have still managed to make a full-length episode of our show talking about that episode, So... I don't know how many people will appreciate that, but...
Well, you didn't know if I was just going to just die after I saw it.
Yeah, well, let's hope not. Do you want to know what we're going to see next time?
What's next time?
The title of the next episode is Love Letters.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I like the episode Love Letters more than most people, so we shall see. Anything else to say about Interdimensional Family Friend?
Well, I'm probably going to think of many things to say about it, but it's probably best for all concerned if we cut it here.
Well, can do. I'll see everyone next time, I guess, for some love letters.
Night all.
Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Ivy and Daria on Not So Giant Women.
You can find episodes of the show in video form by looking up Not So Giant Women on YouTube
or in audio form at anchor.fm/notsogiantwomen or your podcatcher of choice.
You can also find us on Facebook. Audio production by Daria.
Video production and music by Ivy.
Daria can also be heard on Podsploitation, the Ozploitation podcast.
And Ivy at her Steven Universe fan blog at love-takes-work.tumblr.com.
Steven Universe was created by Rebecca Sugar and remains property of Cartoon Network.
No infringement is intended. You've been listening to Ivy and Daria on Not So Giant Women.
You can find episodes of the show in video form by looking up Not So Giant Women on YouTube
or in audio form at anchor.fm/notsogiantwomen or your podcatcher of choice.
You can also find us on Facebook. Audio production by Daria.
Video production and music by Ivy.
Daria can also be heard on Podsploitation, the Ozploitation podcast.
And Ivy at her Steven Universe fan blog at love-takes-work.tumblr.com.
Steven Universe was created by Rebecca Sugar and remains property of Cartoon Network.
No infringement is intended.